You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Alex Dunn, Chris Pimlott and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's Newmarket, Nottingham and Newcastle on Thursday afternoon, Hamilton and Newbury in the evening on the domestic front, and of the Irish Sea as well from Tipperary on Thursday night. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sam Turner. Hi, Sam.
Hello, Mark. I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty good indeed. Coming off the back of Royal Ascot, great racing there.
Yeah.
You think we might have a quiet weekend, but instead we have the Northumberland Plate, plenty of good racing at York and Newmarket and such, and the Irish Derby as well.
It's just relentless, isn't it? Absolutely relentless. And you wouldn't want it any other way, really. We'd just take a brief pause, perhaps, midweek, and some reasonable cards on Thursday as well as we build towards the weekend, and then we roll on. We've got the Eclipse coming up. We've got, you know, July meeting, July Cup.
Yeah.
Obviously the John Smiths, you know, some big Saturdays in the next few weeks ahead of us.
Yeah, exciting time of year. Great Saturday racing and hopefully great weather. Oh, that would be nice, because at the moment it's absolutely
horrific.
Hammering it down everywhere.
Absolutely.
That, of course, by the way, is going to mean a significant going change at Newmarket for anybody who hasn't heard. They've had plenty of rain there. It's going to be soft ground, isn't it, Newmarket?
Yeah, 70 mil, 3 inches overnight. Absolutely horrific, really.
So bear that in mind when you're having a bet on Thursday. With regards to Royal Ascot and all that, did you get yourself to the Royal meeting at any point?
Or? I did. I was there 2 days, Tuesday and the Wednesday. Managed to side with the best weather. Well, it was sweltering, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was good strapping on the morning suit and the waistcoat with 32-degree heat. So it was a bit insufferable, but very enjoyable. Some great performances and some great stories as well. So, yeah, it was a good week all round.
Performance of the week for you? What stood out for you at Royal?
Lady Aurelia, I think.
Yep.
I thought she was the star quality, certainly. There was other great performances as well, not least Caravaggio. Shame, really, that sort of Harry Angel was so aggressively ridden there. I'd like to have seen him just be given a little bit of a weight in riding front, and to see the two of them duel inside the final furlong would have been good. We didn't see a lot of duels, but, you know, I suppose the Gold Cup was the one where it was a tooth and nail job through the last sort of 100, 150 yards. That was probably the race of the meeting, I think, wasn't it? Big Orange and Order St. George. But probably star quality, star performance, Lady Aurelia, to blow away good quality horses, speedsters like she did, was terrific.
The handicapper, sufficiently impressed as well. I think they've rated that the best King's Stand performance this century.
Not surprised. All the right horses were sort of second, third, fourth, fifth. You got good horses that couldn't even get in the race. You know, likes of Gold Dream was well beaten, you know, winner 2 years ago and in great form going into the race. Obviously, Clive Cox's horse in second has run a blinder, had previously got good form in the race as well. So, Marcia was the filly to beat, and she was well beaten. Mm. So, yeah, all the right horses were in and around it, and the time was terrific as well.
Let's have a little glance forward rather than backwards now. We'll have a quick gander towards the weekend action. Starting at Newcastle, the Pitman's Derby, the Northumberland Plate. Rich history of the race. It's been going since the 1800s, hasn't it? A little bit different nowadays on the all-weather surface. But you get the same top-quality staying handicappers turning up. So.
Yeah, you get some very decent horses. Some top yards also are represented as well. I think it does do you well to try and centre on horses that have got some all-weather form. London Prize, who carries a penalty for that very impressive Goodwood win. He represents Ian Williams, who's done brilliantly well with his dual-purpose horses. And, obviously this is a horse that's won hurdles. He's only ever run once on the all-weather, but managed to finish second, I think, on his sole start on the all-weather. So a little bit of a question whether he's going to handle it or not, but he did finish second at Newcastle back in February, so that's a very solid performance, and he comes here in good form. So no surprise to see him you know, towards the head of the market, you would suggest.
Yeah, he's a 14-to-1 chance in the market, towards the top end of the market. Proven Newcastle form. Fly Me to the Stars, 5-to-1 favourite with us at the moment. Trained by Sir Mark Prescott, only had the 4 starts, won 3 of them. Last 2 have been victories on the Tapeter at Newcastle as well. So
yeah.
Proven. And Seymour, of course, who came so close to landing the race for Brian Ellison last year, a race that he covets so much. Got run out of it in the closing stages, and we've seen a bit of money for that as well, according to the traders.
So. Birthday as well this week, Brian, so that'll be a good way to celebrate it, wouldn't it? So, yeah, he always targets this race, and Seymour looked as if he'd got the race in safekeeping, didn't he? Until getting mugged close home. Invariably well back for these staying handicaps as well, isn't he?
Yes, yeah, see if he can go one better than last year, where Antiquarium came and did him in the closing stages. We'll go into that a little bit more detail towards the weekend, because at the moment there's still hundreds of runners,
yes,
and the,
absolutely.
We'll wait till the handicap's tidied up a little bit. We can talk about the Irish Derby in a little bit more detail, though. Wings of Eagles, the 2-to-1 favourite now. Cracksman, 5-to-2. They were originally a joint favourite for the race yesterday. Voldgeist is one that's attracted support, 7-to-2 into 11-to-4 over the last couple of days. Capri, 9-to-1. Douglas MacArthur, 12s. Venice Beach, 16-to-1 and 25-to-1, or bigger prices for the others. A few angles you could look at here. Cracksman, now ridden by Pat Smullen, who won the race last year on board Harzand, of course. Decent replacement for Frankie, who's still out injured. Bidding to turn the tables on Wings of Eagles, who came with that real late rattle to land the Epsom Derby. And then you got the French raider, Voldgeist, who finished second in the French Derby. Looks rock-solid form behind Bramatot, and looks to have a good chance as well. So
yeah,
the front
absolutely.
Three in the market, very interesting there.
No, very much so. It's an intriguing race in a lot of respects. I mean, Wings of Eagles, a lot of people felt that he was a fluke winner. It was only because he was 40-to-1 that people have disregarded his performance in the Derby a little bit. I feel sorry for the horse, because he got a Shamey Heffernan ride at Chester, where he was looked after and, you know, nursed into contention, chased home Venice Beach that day. But then he went to Epsom. He was unconsidered 40-to-1 chance. I'm not saying for a minute I fancied him, but I'm just saying he did incredibly well to win. He got hampered soon after the start. He got hampered in the straight. He was even further behind Cliffs of Moher in launching his performance, and he's won a length and a quarter, or whatever it was, the winning margin was, and he's pulling up on the line. And he's gone past the likes of Cracksman and Cliffs of Moher and one or two others, as if they were standing still in the straight, you know, including Capri and Venice Beach, etc. So I thought it was a tremendous performance, and I can't see why the Curragh shouldn't suit him even better than Epsom and Chester. I think he's been achieving good performances in spite of the track, to be honest. I think the long, stiff climb to the line at the Curragh should be ideal, and just a shame that only 6,000 people are going to watch it Saturday.
Yeah, that's catching the headlines in the news, isn't it? It's a tricky debate, though, I suppose, isn't it? Do you keep it where it's supposed to be at the expense of the crowd, or do you move it to get a better crowd in? And
should have moved it.
You think so?
Without shadow of a doubt, should have moved it to Leopardstown. No doubt about that. Having a Premier Classic in the middle of a building site is just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I can't understand for the life of me why they would continue to keep it at the Curragh. And the way that the Curragh has been, I wouldn't say run, because I don't know Irish politics well enough to work out quite why it's been allowed to fall into disrepair. I went for the first time last year, and I was shocked by how poor the facilities were. Really, really shocked. It looked like a real third-rate track. And to have Irish Classics there is, and to allow it to fall into that sort of state of disrepair, and that just the average nature of it was just really shocking, to be honest.
Yeah,
quite surprised. People told me what to expect, but I didn't think it'd be quite as bad. I mean, I'm not sort of labeling it as the worst track I've ever been to, but it wouldn't be in the top 10 of the best ones either.
What is the worst track you've ever been to? No, we don't need to do that.
No.
In terms of a selection for the Irish Derby, for Twaski now, who would you go with?
Well, I mean, the betting early doors had sort of Cracksman favourite over Wings of Eagles. Now, I couldn't really understand why that was. I think Waldgeist is the joker in the pack, because he's yet to tackle a mile and a half. We don't know quite how good he could be. He won that race, he won that race at the back end of last year in France. He won it very comfortably, Saint-Cloud, the Grand Criterium. He beat Best Solution, he beat Capri, he beat Douglas MacArthur, he beat Francus Kunko. He beats Wing of Eagles very comfortably. Now it's just whether the others have made up the ground on him, and whether he's going to find that sufficient improvement to win over a mile and a half. Now, when Mr. Farb, or Monsieur Farb, to correctly label him, starts becoming bullish about horses, that is a time to sit up and notice. So I don't mind Cracksman. I think the straight will suit him as well. He's a long striding horse. I think that'd be perfect for him. But reading between the lines and speaking to people who've spoken to Frankie Dettori, he doesn't believe in any way, shape or form he's up to the level of those previous Derby winners. He's no Golden Horn and he's no Authorised. So that would be a little bit of a alarm bell for me. I think Vorgeist or Wings of Eagles will win.
All right, a couple against Cracksman then, really, in the Irish Derby. We've got that to look forward to at the weekend. Right now, though, we better concentrate on matters close to hand, and we'll get Sam's thoughts in four races for Thursday on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
On to the action on Thursday, then, and we are going to go through four races, starting in the 4:35 at Nottingham. And this one is a Class 4 handicap. 6 furlongs is the trip for this one. We've got a field of 13 set to go to post here. What made you choose this race, and what's caught your eye in there?
The fact that there was little or else on the day that I really fancied, to be honest, Mark. It was it's quite a difficult race, and it's quite a difficult day as well to try and dig your way through. But the one positive with Artscape is that he handles a bit of cut in the ground. He posted a really good performance to win at Goodwood last time. That was achieved in a pretty good time as well, and he already handles Nottingham, and there's been winners that have already come out of that Goodwood run. I don't know, the likes of Show Me the Way at Averillo. He's come out and won at Chepstow since, and in good style, win quite a competitive little race. So, you know, there is a little bit of a positive come out of that form line, and the fact that Artscape does cope with a bit of cut in the ground. The stable's in pretty good nick. They had a great run out of Labrisa Breeze at Ascot on Saturday, and you know, the fact he's got the Nottingham form as well, all things to commend him.
So Artscape the selection then for Sam in the 4:35 at Nottingham. We move on to the 5:35 next at Newmarket. Class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs. Once again, a warning about the ground. Do check the ground here, because it's going to be soft, at least you'd imagine, at Newmarket. And it's a case of finding a soft ground horse in here. So,
well, this is it. You know, and a horse that will cope with, you know, 70 mils of rain on probably watered ground, as well as, you know, further rain to come. So, you know, it could be quite a test, really. This track and the way that the race should be run should set up quite nicely, you would think, for Rio Ronaldo. And if he's in the same sort of form as he was at Sandown, when he was dropped to 5 furlongs for the first time for some little time, then he could be a tough one to beat. He does cope with a bit of cut in the ground. He's run at Windsor a number of times when the ground has been pretty desperate, and he's run well on it. Not least, you know, this time 12 months ago when he chased down Growl, and Growl went on to run an absolute blinder in the Champions Sprint at the back end of last year. So a reproduction of that form, reproduction of his form at Sandown, where he managed to quick and well to beat Raw Mezian over 5 furlongs. And if they go a good gallop up front, that should set it up for the closers, and hopefully he'll be one of those.
Rio Ronaldo then should handle the ground, and should be suited by the way the race is running, Sam's opinion, for the 5:35 at Newmarket. We've gone through these in a bizarre order, and that's because I've got them up in the wrong order on my screen. So we'll go to Newcastle next for the 3:40, and this is the Seton Delaval handicap. It's over a mile and a field of 14 set to go to post for this one.
Good prize money here, very good prize money. You know, nearly 22,000 to the winner, and that makes me think that perhaps. Richard Fahey might well have had his eye on this race for some little time for Constantino, who's finished second on a couple of starts at Newcastle, both over course and distance, not least behind Flaming Spear, which was a really good run in a hot Class 3 handicap before Christmas. That was a good run. The likes of Fouette and Keystroke and Fort Bastion were all in that race, along with Georgian Bay and Briardale, who reopposes this afternoon. Now, Briardale's career has taken off quite significantly since then. He's won 2 of his last 3, but he is a front runner, and I'm not always certain that Newcastle's a place where you want to be front running unless it's over one of the sprint trips. So hopefully they'll go a good gallop here. Constantino nicely drawn in 8, he can go either side if he wants or travel wherever he likes. He's had a good break, the pause that refreshes, copes very well with the ground, and I just wonder whether very well with the surface, and I just wonder whether Richard Fahey's just had his eye on this race for some little time. His last run was second to Chevalier, which is a good level. He always does good speed figures on the synthetic surfaces, and hopefully he can get his head in front at, you know, a value price.
Constantino then, the pick in the 3:40 there at Newcastle, and then the final race we look at is the 9:10 at Hamilton Park, and this is a Class 5 handicap, 6 furlongs. The trip for this one, saving the best all the way to the very last race, the race of the day, is that the case?
I wouldn't say that, no. the fourth and final selection, Hee Haw, A horse that looks on really good terms with himself. He'd finished second at Hamilton over this course and distance behind Dandy Highwayman, who's a progressive horse of Ollie Pears's. And then just last time out, very, very well supported at Carlisle and did it very smoothly in the hands of Paul Mulrennan. Graham Lee takes over this evening. I would prefer Paul Mulrennan because he just seemed to have such great synchronicity with the selection at Carlisle. They travelled sweetly, saw off one or two solid, if unspectacular, sprinters over that six furlongs there at the Northumberland track. And hopefully he's going the right way and he's got a bit of confidence, this three-year-old, because he looked at quite a decent horse early on in his career and he's run a number of times at Hamilton, finished second on most of them, but at least he handles the track well and I don't think a £6 penalty is too excessive for him.
So he ought to defy the penalty then in that 9-10 at Hamilton. Let's have a little summary before you go, Sam.
Yeah.
We can go through them in the correct order this time, if you'd like.
All right. 3:40 Newcastle, Constantino, hopefully be fresher than most, returns to the scene of one or two of his best performances and looks to have been laid out for a valuable handicap by Richard Fahey. Over at Newmarket in there, 5:35, number 3, Rio Ronaldo.
You're mixing up the order as well now.
It doesn't matter.
It's all right.
5:35, Rio Ronaldo, number 3 on the card. Horse that loves a strong pace at 5 furlongs, copes with a bit of cut in the ground. He should go well. The 4:35 at Nottingham, another speedster. Dean Ivory trained 5-year-old Artscape. Stevie Drown, who's had a few winners of late, which is nice to see. His season's picking up well. Looks a strong pace to sort of kick off here. He's nicely drawn in 7 of the 13, so he can manoeuvre himself wherever he likes on the track, and hopefully Artscape will go okay. Another winner out of that Goodwood race. And then the 9-10, another sprinter, Hee Haw, certainly in good form at the moment, comes here off the back of that Carlisle victory. Graham Lee taking over from Paul Mulrennan, and yet again, reasonably drawn, and fingers crossed he can get the job done in the finale at Hamilton.
Superb. Thank you very much, Sam. Good luck and enjoy on Thursday.
Thanks very much, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Sam Turner on Thursday's racing. Then you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Alex Dunn, Chris Pimlott and Craig Forsyth in the studio. Might be a late substitution there. It might actually be Ollie Pimlott instead of Chris, but we'll find out on Thursday. It's Newmarket, Nottingham and Newcastle in the afternoon, Hamilton, Newbury and Tipperary in the evening. So do tune in for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.